one verse of Scripture. I have a message that will be a little briefer than a typical message would be in light of all the wonderful time we've had listening to music, praising God in our hearts as they sang out loud, singing together as a church, worshiping God together this wonderful day. As you turn to Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, the title of today's message is Worship. This is the text of Scripture that Dr. Custer selected for the theme of homecoming. And you might be wondering, why would you title a message Worship when the theme is Service for the Savior? And that's what Pastor even spoke about this morning. Well, I hope that that'll be clear in just a little bit. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll begin. Father, we praise Your wonderful name for the wonderful God that You are. We thank You for giving us this very wonderful day of worship. We pray now, Lord, as we look into Your Word together, that that worship would continue, that You would take pleasure, Lord, in this message, that our hearts, Father, would be open before You, and that You would work in each of our lives in a way, Lord, that You know is best. Lord, we do need Your help, and we pray that Your Holy Spirit would illumine our minds to Your wonderful Word, that You might receive honor and glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. What actually is worship? I think if you ask the average person, they would associate worship with a church. In fact, some people call churches houses of worship. And what do we do in these so-called houses of worship? Well, we get together and we listen to worship music. And in fact, we don't use this term here, but sometimes a song leader is called a worship leader. Why? Because he leads a congregation in worship. And we normally do that on Sundays. In fact, in many traditions, they would call Sunday, or if you will, the Lord's Day, a day of public worship. But my question is, what actually is worship? Well, I'd like you to look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 with me as I read through it. I'm reading from a New American Standard Bible. And Paul writes in Romans 12, 1, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. There's a word right at the end of verse 1 in Romans 12. It's a word that can be translated service, as in the King James, reasonable service, or it's a word that can be translated worship. For example, it's a word that's used in Romans 9:4, where it says the Israelites were given the Old Testament, the law. It says they also were given the temple service. Same word we have here in Romans. In fact, this word's used in Hebrews 9:1, where it says in the Old Testament we have regulations of, the King James says, service. The New American Standard says, worship. Also, just a few verses later in Hebrews 9:6, it refers to the Old Testament priests who performed the, King James says, service of God. Again, the New American Standard has the divine worship. This word can be translated service. This word can be translated worship. Because this word, when used in the New Testament, always deals with our service to God as part of our worship. And so when we have this translation here, I'm reading from the New American Standard, we're fitting both of these ideas, I think, together nicely. Again, I'll read the end of verse 1 of Romans 12, which is your spiritual service of worship. Not two separate ideas. Not as the Amplified Bible, for example, says, it reads here that it's your service and spiritual worship. We're not talking about serving God, number one, worshiping God, number two. We're not talking about serving God apart from worship. We're not talking about worship apart from serving God. We're talking about two ideas put together into one. To worship is to serve God. To serve God is to worship. That's what Romans 12:1 is speaking of. When Paul says, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. This is our service of worship. And there's many things we see here in Romans 12:1. I just want to mention three of them that I hope will just be encouraging. Some of this repetitive from this morning, but I hope will just encourage us as we worship God today. Number one, I make the point, Paul makes the point, that worship is responding to God. Worship is responding to God. If you have the updated version of the New American Standard, you begin with the word therefore. If you're using the one a little bit earlier, you have to go four words in. I'm looking for that word, therefore. Paul writes in Romans 12:1, I urge you, therefore, brethren. What is he talking about? He's talking about Romans 1 and Romans 2. Romans 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Everything that Paul has talked about in Romans is the therefore. In fact, he's talking about what he calls in this verse the mercies of God. When we think about all of the mercy that God has shown us in saving us, we should respond. How do we respond? In worship. In worship. You see, we don't come to worship God hoping that He will respond to us. We don't say, Lord, you know, we really want Your mercy today, so we're going to gather together and we're going to worship You, and then when it's all done, would You please be merciful to us? That is not what we do. God is the one who begins the interaction. God is the one who's already begun the interaction by showing us grace and mercy. You see, God is the one that initiates salvation. God is the one who comes looking for the helpless sinner. God is the one who sent His Son to the cross. God is the one who graciously called us to Himself and gave us the wonderful privilege of accepting His Son and being born again into His kingdom. Our response to what God has done is worship. We don't come here saying, Lord, we're seeking You, we're seeking You, we're seeking You, be merciful. We come here saying, Lord, You're wonderful, You're wonderful, You're wonderful, and we praise You for being such a wonderful God. It is God who initiates. We respond. And our response is called worship. This is what we do. We worship. Even in the music that you've heard, that was worship. If in your heart, you were responding to God. You say, what do you mean? Well, if I could just use the choir maybe as an example, if that would be appropriate. The choirs traveled all across Europe singing in places where the people were regenerate, they were believers. In other places where the people did not know Christ. Let me ask you a question. When the choir was singing before people who did not know Christ, let's just say a secular hall, and they were singing the praises of God, and the people in the audience were strangers to God's grace, were those people worshiping God? And the answer, of course, is what? No. Because they were singing, to those who have sought Thee, You've never said no. Now, Lord, wash me and make me whiter than snow. And some of those people were thinking, oh, that's nice. That choir director is nice. Their voices are really well trained. Oh, this is such a wonderful choral arrangement. Boy, how nice. That's not worship. But today they sang that same song. And there were people in this room, you, me, and we were listening, and in our hearts we were saying, Amen. That's right, God, You've never said no. And You were so gracious to allow me to be washed white as snow. God, I praise You. That was going on in your heart. And that was worship. Because you were responding to the message of the choir. See, it began with them pointing us to God. In our hearts, the worship was the Amen. That's right. Worship always is a response to what God has done. And that's number one. Worship is responding to God. That's why only believers can worship. And of course, Paul addresses us in verse 1 of Romans 12 as brethren. Worship is always responding to God. Number 2. Worship is giving to God. Number 1, it's responding to God. Number 2, worship is giving to God. Romans 12:1. I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, a living and holy sacrifice. What does present mean? It means to offer. It means to give. It means when we come together as the body of Christ, Trinity Bible Church, we don't come to get, we come to give. We come to worship. And worship is always giving. We come to present. You can see the word present, as in a birthday present, in this word present. In fact, that's a wonderful illustration. Maybe you've been, especially if you have young children, you've been to a birthday party recently. Why do children go to birthday parties? Now, hopefully they don't go to get. Now, I realize when kids go to birthday parties, sometimes there's favors. You get a little hat. You get a little rubber eraser for your pencil or something else. You get a little puzzle or something, and you take it home, and you have this treat bag, a favor bag. And you might say, Mom, Dad, look at this. This is what I had. And that's nice. But you have a nice gift in a wrapper or in a little bag with handles on it, and you take it to the little boy or little girl that's having a birthday. And you give that to that boy or girl. You're making a presentation. You're giving that person a present. That person is the object of attention. That's what worship is in a sense. See, we don't come on Sundays, other days of the week, to worship so that we can receive. Even though I think most of us received the blessing today. But we didn't come to receive, we come to give. Because worship always involves giving. You know, some people say, well, I have this physical problem, I really want to be healed, maybe I'll go to church and I'll receive healing. Well, maybe you will. Some people say, you know, I have this great prayer burden, maybe I'll go to church and I'll present my petitions to God and maybe I'll get an answer to prayer. Well, maybe you will. Some people say, I'm filled with anxiety, depression, what have you, maybe I'll get peace, maybe I'll get joy, I'll go to church. Maybe you will, but that's not why we worship. You know, we have this whole movement in our country that's tied up with praise and worship singing. And they'll have praise and worship bands. And the music is incredibly fast and incredibly emotional. Why? Because it helps people to feel good. And why would I go to church and not feel good? If I go to church, I want to feel good, so do something that makes me feel good. But that's not why we come. Now, I want to be fair. Some people say, that's right, I don't like praise and worship music. I like the hymns because the hymns make me feel good. No. You might be from an older generation and really like hymns, but that's no different than being from a younger generation and liking a praise band. We don't sing because it makes us feel good. We don't sing because of what we receive. We sing because of what we can give. Worship is always giving. We have the word present. The Bible says we are to present our bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is our spiritual service of worship. Worship is always giving. It's not taking. Worship is always responding to God. It's not initiating. And thirdly and finally, worship is living. Living for God. Dying to self and living to God. Romans 12:1 says, by the mercies of God to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Now we see the word sacrifice in verse 1 and what do we think of? We think sacrifice, whatever. But we have to put ourselves back in a first century mentality when we read this. If you were reading this in the first century, you'd be thinking of something like this wooden structure in the front of the room here that we call a communion table. You'd be thinking of a blood-stained altar where people bring an animal and there would be a priest and the priest would say, is this your animal? And you would say, yes, sir, this is my animal. And in a very specific ritualistic way, that priest would kill the animal. The blood would somehow be manipulated, and then either in whole or part, that animal would be burned on the altar as a sign of sacrifice and worship to a god. And that was done in Old Testament times by the Israelites. That was done in most pagan religions as well. So if you lived in the first century world, as soon as Paul said sacrifice, your mind would immediately go to that. You'd be thinking of shed blood. You'd be thinking of burning flesh. You'd be thinking of worshiping some deity. Now we know, in the New Testament era, there's no more literal sacrifice. Because Hebrews chapter 10 makes it quite clear that Jesus Christ fulfilled all of the Old Testament types. He offered a sacrifice once for all. And when He's finished, He sat down. Which is why when He was on the cross, He cried out, "It is finished." But we still have the metaphorical idea of sacrifice. And that's why Paul says in verse 1, "Present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice." You say, what does that mean? It's very simple. Worship is living for God. Because worship is dying to self. You know what worship is? Worship is death. Worship is saying, "Lord, I'm dead. What I want to do with my money doesn't matter anymore. I'm dead. What I want to major in doesn't matter anymore. I'm dead. Lord, the school that I want to go to, I no longer want to go to that school. I give it to You because I'm dead. Lord, the boyfriend or the girlfriend I'm interested in, I give that to You, Lord. It doesn't matter to me. I'm dead. Lord, anything You want is fine because I put myself on the altar is a living sacrifice." That's worship. Worship is not saying, "Lord, You can have this part of me." Worship is saying, "Lord, You can have my body." Or to put it another way, "You can have me." That's worship. It's simply dying to self and living for the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, how do you know when you get there? I believe it was this morning that we sang the song, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." I remember reading this in a book once and I'll never forget it. How do you know if you really, truly, I mean really, truly, love God more than anything else? And the author of the book, in reference to that song, which is based on Paul's words in Philippians 2, said simply this, can I say, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain"? Can I say, "Lord, if I found out I was dying today, I'd say amen, because that's gain, and I'm ready. Because there's not a thing or a person or an event in this world that is important to me as You. Lord, to live is Christ, to die is gain. And if You want me, I'm there and I'm gone and I'm ready because You're everything. As the psalmist said, You are my portion, O Lord." That's what worship is. It's not putting on my tie, even though when we worship, I wear a tie. It's not some of you ladies putting on a skirt. It's not necessarily getting our hair nice, even though we do those things. It's not necessarily putting money in a plate. I guess that's part of it. But real worship is saying, "Lord, I'm responding to You and I'm giving to You not any part of me, but all of me. And here I am, Lord, and I'm Yours. And anything You want is fine because I'm on the altar and I have no will of my own. I'm Yours, Lord." I'm talking about big things. I'm talking about, "Lord, if You want me to maybe change jobs, here I am, Lord, in this job here, in this maybe this little office setting. And if You want me to leave that and go into some type of full-time ministry, I will. Or, here I am in some full-time ministry. And even though I enjoy it greatly, if You want me to leave that, Lord, and go work in an office, I will. Lord, here I am and I have a certain major, something I've always thought I'd enjoy. But Lord, if You'd like me to quit that and change a major and go into a ministerial major, Lord, I'd gladly do that. And Lord, even though I kind of would like to be in ministry, you know, if You would want me to go into this other area of major, that's fine, Lord, I'll do that." That's dying to self. It's something as practical and maybe seemingly small as saying, "Lord, it's been a long day and there's a ball game on this afternoon and a few things I want to do around the house, but if You want me to hang out and help clean up at Trinity, it's not a problem, Lord. because I gave myself to you. And right now, today, once again, because you've been so wonderful to me, I'm giving. And what I'm giving is myself. Lord, again, I put myself on the altar. And whatever that means, it's okay with me. Because I'm a sacrifice. And I have no will of my own. That's worship. That's true spiritual worship. It's initiated by God. I simply respond to Him. It's always giving. It's not focusing on what I receive. And it's dying to myself and living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads, please. With heads bowed, I'd simply like to ask you a question for you to answer privately between you and the Lord. With your heads bowed, please. In your heart of hearts, in light of all that the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you, could you honestly say in your hearts, Jesus Christ has everything. He has all of me. I am a living sacrifice. I have given myself completely to Him, and right now, the best I know, He has me completely. I'm not asking you to raise a hand, to stand up, or do anything. If that's true, just in your heart, would you simply, even now, utter a brief prayer of thanksgiving to God and say, Lord, thank you that even now I know that I'm a living sacrifice and I praise your name for it. If that's true of you, even now, would you simply pause and utter a silent prayer to your God, thanking Him that you're a living sacrifice? It may be, on the other hand, that you're here today, and in your heart, you know that you couldn't do that, because you know deep inside that there's some part of you that is not on the altar, that there's something you're struggling with. Maybe in the past you've put your life on the altar, but somehow, some way, whether a long time ago or recently, you've taken yourself back. And you're no longer a living sacrifice. And even as we reviewed Romans 12:1 briefly, in light of the mercies of God, God the Holy Spirit has convicted you. And even now in your heart, you would simply say something like this, Lord, please forgive me of my sin. And today afresh, I present myself to you a living sacrifice. Whatever you want, Lord, is okay with me. Could you right now, if you would need to, would you privately, between you and your God, even pray to Him in that way as we pause? Father, we thank You in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that You hear the prayer of Your people. Father, You have people in this congregation, even this afternoon, some of whom, Lord, have prayed prayers of thanksgiving. Lord, their lives are living sacrifices, and they've thanked You for that. And Lord, we thank You for blessing them and helping them and giving them the grace that You have. And we pray that You would continue to bless them, that they would continue, Lord, to live in such a way that would demonstrate to all that they truly do love You and are thankful for the wonderful mercy that You've shown to them. Father, we know that in the name of Jesus Christ, You've heard other prayers in this building. You've heard the prayers, Lord, of Your children. Lord, no doubt some, maybe many of us, just now, Lord, we've cried out, Father, forgive us for our sin. Forgive us for not being living sacrifices. And Lord, we're thankful that as we've come to You in the name of Jesus Christ seeking forgiveness, that we have that forgiveness. Not because of us, but because of You and because of the great mercy that You continue to show us. Father, we pray by Your grace that all of us here in this room, Lord, everyone here in our church family, that we would truly live for You in a way that would be characteristic of a living sacrifice in light of all that You have done for us. Father, You've been wonderful to us. We pray that You'd help us to now responsively live for You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.